Blog Talk Radio.
Sarah figured out that by switching to MetroPCS, she gets two free smartphones.
Your barbecue ribs are the best.
Take the rest home with you, Sarah.
Just like she figured out that by visiting her in-laws, she doesn't have to cook for the rest of the week. You too figure it out. Get two free 4G LTE smartphones from top brands like Samsung and LG after instant rebate when you switch. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figure it out. Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included. See store or MetroPCS.com for details and terms and conditions.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Refractive Thinker Radio Show, hosted by the award-winning and international best-selling author Dr. Cheryl Lentz, the academic entrepreneur. Meet the scholars of the award-winning doctoral anthology series, The Refractive Thinker, where we focus on getting doctoral research off the coffee table and into the hands of business owners who can benefit from the results. Join us each Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time for 30 minutes of thought-provoking radio designed to discuss emerging topics in higher education and business. We will meet today's industry thought leaders and college professors leading the way. Details can be found at www.refractivethinker.com. Now, here's your host, Dr. Cheryl Lentz.
Good morning, everybody. This is Dr. Cheryl Lentz, and happy Tuesday morning. I am known as the academic entrepreneur, and it's Tuesday 9 o'clock. It's time for another thought-provoking episode of Blog Talk Radio. Today, we have a wonderful guest from our new book that's going to be debuting here in the weeks ahead, The Refractive Thinker, Volume 11 with Women in Leadership. We have one of our authors with us today, Dr. Cynthia J. Young. Cindy, are you here with us?
I am.
Outstanding. Well, we're honored to have you with us today. And as we start all of our radio shows, let's have our guests or our audience get to know you just a little bit. Cindy, tell us a little bit about your background.
Okay. Well, first, thank you so much for having me. This is a first for me, so it's very, very interesting, very exciting. I'm a recent doctoral graduate. I did 23 years in the Navy. I was 8.5 years enlisted and then 14.5 years as an officer. But since I retired about 4 years ago, I became a knowledge manager for my company and McKean Defense, and we do support for the ship repair industry.
Fantastic. Well, the chapter that Dr. Cindy wrote with us is entitled Chapter 3, Using Leadership to Improve Firm Performance Through Knowledge Management. So that's going to be our focus today for our show, to be able to walk us through some of this idea and the importance of knowledge management. So tell me a little bit about where this idea came from in there. How did you get interested in this particular topic of knowledge management?
I was always interested in it. In the military, it was a basic concept that you share information, you transmit it, you write it down. But the communication in person was very, very important to share lessons learned and to share processes and procedures. When I retired and I became a government contractor, it was a little bit more challenging because there's always that fear that somebody will know more than you and will therefore become, you know, the person who takes your job next time when the contractor news. So that gave me the thought about, well, how do we do it in the ship repair industry when our mission is so important to be able to repair ships and have some continuity in the knowledge when teams change in and out, when the ships get different maintenance teams to come board their ship. And so that's what led me to thinking about, well, what happens when people retire? And then overall employee loss, you know, do turnover, and do we empower our employees to share information, to make decisions on their own? So all this accumulated, you know, a lot of research for me, and then I ultimately decide the best way to propose this would be, how does it affect firm performance, and how do you do knowledge management through leadership? Since a lot of places, they consider knowledge management IT-based, whether, you know, it's a SharePoint portal or such. So my goal really is not just to share knowledge and to empower people, but to get people to realize that knowledge is more important than just the research engine or the PowerPoint or the other methods of communicating. It's got to be in person. Person-to-person is so important because that's the only way you can get the nuances and be able to ask questions in a timely manner.
Well, it's wonderful you bring this up because we've had many of our guests in the past have talked about this idea of secession with the idea of retirement. In the military, thank you for your service, by the way, it's wonderful to be able to look at this because it happens in a bit more timely fashion. We think of retirement as when the baby boomers are mass exiting at starting at the age of somewhere between 60 and many have not left yet. When we look at the military, you're looking at either a 2 to 4 year turnover of the leader, which is typically traditional in all branches of the service, somewhere between 2 to 4 years. And then you're looking at the idea that to age out, so to speak, of the military, 20, maybe 30 years max before the next generation is going to be taking over. And so it's a fabulous question to consider of what happens with all that we have acquired. Where does it go when we leave? And have we done a good enough job of succession planning to be able to pass it along so that we can keep up that continuity within whatever we're doing, whether it's in the ship repair industry as you yourself have spent, whether it's in your project managers that you're working on, but how do we ensure that we do have all of the answers or at least know how to find them before somebody exited either the project, the workforce, the military, or simply retires in general. So what are the top suggestions you've had based on the research you've done?
Well, so one area I look at was begin during the onboarding. When personnel check into a, well, check in the military, you know, aspect, but when they become a member of a new company, when they onboard that first day, you know, introduce them to people that work around them, not necessarily where they work for them. Show them straight, you know, first day where things are, how to find things, give them directions. It's not a you've checked on board and here's your job, start doing it. It's, okay, these are people you should know, this is where you should get the information. We always had this thing in the military where if we didn't know the answer, we'd say, we'll find out and get back to you. Well, what we really owe our new people coming in is to get that information before the other people leave. And in order to do that, you know, onboarding is a good place to start. And then we go into areas where we may want to do weekly training within a department or monthly training in certain areas or have project teams share their lessons learned with each other, either project manager, or project manager to the team. There should be no reason why it has to be upper management and has all that information. So if you start talking to your lowest initial employees, whether it's their first job or their 10th, it's important for them to have information so that they feel part of the team. And again, it goes back to empowerment. And when you talk about succession planning, which is also something I'm very interested in, is when you have people getting ready to retire because, as you said, military – we do maybe 20, 30 years. And so it's important to get that information from them, but also be able to show them how valuable that information is and maybe have them show it or share it, not just last 2 weeks that they're working, but start maybe 6 months out. So if you have a HR department that's interested in it, that might be a better way to start when you have people that are retiring. Start earlier in the process, have that become part of their daily routine to go and mentor and, you know, as well as write things down. You know, just the communication is so important there.
Oh, absolutely. We've had several guests on the show that I was really surprised that about a year ago we were talking about municipal succession planning. And my question to our guest was, if we know all this research and we know exactly what you're talking about, as we understand the mass exit and the routine, particularly in the military, every 20 to 30 years or every 4 to 6 years, depending on when enlistments and things are up, that we know all of this. We know that we should not do this the 2 weeks before. We've known about the baby boomers mass exiting for years. I mean, people know when people are retiring in the military and when they're taking retirement far before they take terminal leave. And so the question is I'm going to pose to you is the same one. If we know all this, then why aren't those in positions of leadership taking advantage of this and putting these plans into motion like you're suggesting, 6 months, maybe a year out, in anticipation of what we know is coming is the fact that we don't want that brain drain, that knowledge to go walking out the door before we've had a chance to capture it or only have the last 2 weeks when you're training a replacement. Why is that not something that's done? This is not a new issue. We're reinventing the wheel here, are we not?
Well, I think it's different in a corporate society or even the government contracting world, because we're not required to, we're leaving. 2 weeks' notice is the generally accepted way to leave. We don't always have people retire. Usually people move on to another company or they just leave altogether. So there's not that time to have those conversations. We recently just had a person leave, and they sent a bunch of emails, a bunch of lists, but even the most knowledgeable person would still have to have more information than what they were given. So it's been a little bit of a challenge for that role to be filled, because they have to also look into hiring and then giving them time to give their other job notice. So you can essentially have a small two-week gap, but large maybe 2 months. And so it's important, for the information we shared throughout the organization rather than just within that one person. Unless, of course, it's like confidential information that maybe very few people have to have. But in that case, I think that it's important for organizations to look at it, because if they lose information, they're going to lose the information that feeds in their overall performance and their bottom line of their productivity, customer relationships, and bottom line of profit.
Absolutely, and that's the challenge that I've always concerned myself with, you can say, with all of the teaching that I've done and all of the consulting I've done over the years, is the ability of how important that is, particularly when there's so much money that we could ascribe to that knowledge potentially walking out the door. We had a guest on here, Dr. Sheila Embry, I remember, is that her solution as a government employee was having a book per function. And so that it was here is the master book of everything that's needed in that particular job function, at least as an attempt, if someone were gone, if someone were on vacation, if someone were leaving, the job function has that ability to have that manual, if you will, so that you at least make an attempt for having to capture some of this information about that particular function. Particularly, as you mentioned, 2 weeks is never enough, whether you're leaving for another position, retiring, et cetera. Let's switch gears a little bit and look at that correlation that I remember from your research. It says knowledge management and innovation have a positive correlation on firm performance. Talk to us a little bit about that correlation.
Yes. It was, I surveyed, I think it was 69 people about how they felt their organizations looked at knowledge management, how they utilized innovation, and what they felt. It was all opinion. It wasn't historic data, but it was all opinion, and how they felt that their organization performed. And when the results came out, the correlation showed that knowledge management innovation as a team were both positive for firm performance. Individually, knowledge management was extremely larger as far as strength than innovation. So you can still have positive firm performance with knowledge management, but you won't see as much of a change with positive innovation on it. So for me, that just confirmed that knowledge management is important to firm performance in the opinions of the people that were answering the survey. Now, I did try to use the organization's top management. It had to be based on the jobs that they were in as far as their wealth of knowledge towards knowledge management, innovation, what they knew their organizations were doing. So it may have been a different outcome had I gone with person at the company. But I opted to not go with the new employees because there wouldn't be enough time for them to know what their company was doing and for them to give their overall opinion. But it would be interesting to know how they felt the knowledge management worked as far as becoming a new employee.
Do I hear a postdoc study in the works, perhaps?
Yes. there's a lot of stuff. As you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes through your mind when you turn that paper in, and you're like, oh, I could have done so much more. But it's interesting to me. I find it very
absolutely
fascinating.
And that's part of why we have started this series, and it's been in its now 12th volume or that's coming out here that you wrote in, and there will be 14 in the series altogether. And the idea of looking at this concept of refractive thinking, which is if thinking is inside the box and critical thinking is outside the box, what lies beyond the box? What if it's not yet a box at all? What's yet to discover? What's out there that has not yet been asked? And so a refractive thinker will ask why not or what if, as opposed to being content with what is. And so let's talk a little bit about that employee empowerment, because that seems to be an important focus to your research.
It is, because, you know, again, as I'm experienced in the military, I had to make decisions. I understood, you know, pre-planned responses. I understood what I was allowed to do on my own and what I had to ask my commanding officer permission for, whether it's a fire weapon or just on a piece of equipment. And so the same thing applies for, you know, corporations, for companies that, you know, may have a large group or even a small group. It's important that their employees know what their limits are, and only when they need to go outside those limits to ask. You know, we had this expression again, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than for permission, but, you know, it doesn't allow you to do a lot in the case of...
Exactly. So let's look at the advice as we bring the second half of this radio show today. We're looking at the idea of how can our listeners benefit from your research in there. So how can, what advice can you give them regarding what they might do based on what you found?
Well, I think they need to talk to their employees and find out if the workforce feels that they know enough. I don't think that it's like a family. I don't think a company can function well with sharing knowledge if they don't feel that they are given knowledge. If they think that there are secrets being kept because they're not senior enough or they're not important enough, because importance is important to an employee. You know, so find out how the feeling is in the company. Look at the organizational culture. See if you can see people talking or if they're just sitting at their cubicle all day. Because if you note that people walk around and talk to other people, they're more apt to share information. But also have a process in place where there can be a knowledge-sharing session. Maybe it's a weekly call within your division. My division manager does that with a lot of the senior people in his division, but not with everybody. So there's still some gap in that knowledge sharing unless the immediate boss goes down and tells the junior employees. But I think it's just very important to talk to people. If more people got them talked and emailed, information sharing would be a lot more prevalent and important, and people would feel more valued, empowered.
Well, and you're hinting at what, because I've studied in my doctorate participative management, but I remember many a quote regarding those who are at the top only think those at the top have what's known as strategic literacy, the ability to make decisions. And that may very well be true, that they have the power, they have the authority, and they may have the responsibility, but that doesn't mean they have all the knowledge. And so that was the kingpin for me, is if you're hiring somebody in your company, you're assuming that they have some expertise. Well, why not empower them to use that expertise, because that's why you hire them, and that's what can add value to the organization. And I don't like when people keep things to themselves, because sharing it makes the whole organization stronger. Keeping things to yourself put gaps in the holes of some folks because of that lack of the ability to have collaboration instead of not necessarily cooperation, but the competitive nature that some businesses have, as if we aren't working together and on the same team. So you're right on the money here. What about the ability for professional growth? Think about that in the advice that you can offer folks of what it means to share, because I know I often have a lot of my students who believe that keeping all the keys to the kingdom themselves is job security, and if anything, it's the exact opposite, that it hurts them more than it helps them. Speak to that for us.
Right. If you keep all the information yourself, you will not be seen as a team player. You don't want to hire somebody or promote them if they're not willing to share stuff with their team, gain input from their team, or even discuss their own ideas. It's important, because those people on the deck plates are the ones that have bits and pieces of information. The management should really be, you know, somebody that can help facilitate putting those little pieces together, and then sharing in the in the growth of the organization when that knowledge is but you know, I wouldn't hire anybody if they didn't want to share information. If they were all about themselves, I would think that personally would be a very selfish move, and I wouldn't want them on my team.
Exactly, and what they also don't take into consideration, if you were the only one with the answers, then it limits your mobility, because if you become the go-to person, you can't take time off, you cannot get promoted, you can't do a lot of things because somehow you have been so absolutely valuable at that position where I don't believe that anyone's indispensable. But by keeping all that knowledge in there, you keep yourself pigeonholed to where you are as opposed to looking for how you might move up and continue instead of staying where you are because the organization just can't do without you. And so it becomes a little bit of a dangerous proposition. Let's switch gears one last time in here and look at the tie-in. Part of what we look at the refractive thinker is getting research out of academia and into the hands of people who can use it, that practical experience. So we'd like to do this tie-in. What's in the news? What's in the minds of people that's in the wind, as we like to call it, that is important to how your research really connects with what's going on in the marketplace?
Well, I was looking around because this is such a big topic that it's hard to narrow it down to just one. But I did find this one article. It talks about bringing in the customer perspective when it comes to knowledge management. And it's not just to get the customer's insight on how you're doing business, but also talks about talking to each other and that knowledge leads to innovation in this article. So it's a very prevalent thing because people are realizing that knowledge management systems more than just the IT-based. They're also virtual. So when you're doing the money-saving aspects of having a virtual conference or using Skype, make a call, you know, you're still communicating with people. And you're just not in the same room. And so that virtual workspace helps narrow down what the customer's needs are, but it may also be able to get the customers to chime in exactly what they want on a timely basis rather than making a report later on and finding out that all the stuff you thought you knew was fully out the window.
Well, exactly, and it doesn't sound so eloquently simple because I talk with my students all the time and they're often surprised when I ask them. And I actually had one student who was so quiet when I did it. He goes, "Doc C, no one's ever asked me anything before." And she was kind of taken aback, and I'm thinking how sad that is with how much expertise we have in our position or whatever it is that we do that we wouldn't, I don't want to say exploit it, but that's really the word I'm looking for, is encourage it, ask about it, incorporate it, integrate it. I mean, the job of the leader is to, like you said, put all those pieces together, but to think that you have all the answers is a bit myopic. And now when we look at the idea, and you said the customer perspective, just think of the idea of social media that has exploded over the years and the fact that we are getting the customer perspective in the event that management is willing to listen. And many companies are coming on board and watching social media and watching those opinions and watching that ability of all the things that our customers know, because either we only have two options. Either we are going to be the solution to their problem, or we're going to create the solution to their problem. That's it. And wouldn't you want to know what you're doing so you know how to involve your customers as part of the conversation? It just seems intuitive and common sense to me, but obviously not everyone's doing it. So where do you see the future of this industry going in terms of other companies benefiting from some of the wisdom and experiences you've shared with us today?
That you learn to share. I'm not saying that they don't know how to share, but I'm thinking if the knowledge sharing, knowledge management improves, that they're going to see dividends in the form of having availabilities end on time. They share how they were able to make sure material was in the correct place, the procedures were done correctly, they had the right personnel on the team at the right time, because a lot of stuff is having an integrated schedule and having to have people at different places. If it's not in accordance with the schedule and very few people know the schedule, then it's going to be off schedule. And then one of the big things with shifts is that they don't want to have lost operational days due to an availability. Availabilities can last anywhere from like a couple months to over a year. And then when you have to get the ship ready to deploy it to go out and carry missions, there's also time where they have to do testing, and then the ship has to do training. And sometimes that training's underway, so the ship can't be tied to a pier or a yard. And so if they are able to improve this, I predict that not only will the processes get better, but the ship's availabilities will get to be where they're coming down to zero lost operational days. That's not going to happen overnight, but I think it's very important. However, I will say that there are over 250 ship repair organizations just in the Virginia Ship Repair Association. Those aren't even counting the ones that aren't members of the organization.
That's wonderful. And so are you planning on sharing this information with them regarding what you found in your doctoral study as a result?
I have shared it with some of them. I shared it with the president because he's a retired captain, but also he's been with the Shipboard Association president for a couple of years. And then I've also shared it with the HR committee during the last meeting. And the HR committee, they had some really good feedback as well. Some of the stuff their organizations, you know, are apt to do, but then there are some that they're so small. You know, an organization can be two or three people, or it could be hundreds of people. So I would like to also do a study on the size of the organization, how it affects, how knowledge management can affect it, because you may also be dealing with the organizational culture of the having a family, so different culture than a regular organization where it's not a family organization, where it's, you know, being hired by people with experience and so on. But, yeah, I do think it's a good effort if they take it under advisement, and then maybe come up with some other ideas of their own.
Fantastic. Well, as we bring another Refractive Thinker show to a close, we have a few minutes left. We want to thank our guest today, Dr. Cynthia J. Young, and we ask you to watch out for her chapter 3, Using Leadership to Improve Firm Performance Through Knowledge Management, that will be coming out possibly even as early as next week with the Refractive Thinker Volume 11, Women in Leadership. And so we thank you for your contributions, and we also thank you for joining us today. How can people get a hold of you if they'd like more information, Cindy? What can they get in touch with you, an email address, a phone number?
I have an email address. It's Dr. Dr. Cynthia J. Young at Gmail. And I also have a LinkedIn page, Dr. Cindy Young.
Outstanding. Well, let's think about this. We always like to offer our show and close this with what's the one piece of advice that if someone took nothing else away from but this radio show that they could implement tomorrow, what would you advise them based on your research?
I think the one thing I would say was don't not share information with somebody just because they're not a senior person.
That's very good advice in there. And so we're trying to be cognizant of where leadership is. And leadership, at least the favorite definition I have, is to use a bit of a John Maxwell, which is lead from where you are instead of the title that you hold, and looking at what the outcome is that the leadership or the information would be to be able to use, as opposed to thinking that there is a ranking of that knowledge, so to speak. And so that's fantastic in there. Where do you see the future of the field of knowledge management going, Cindy?
I think it's really going to grow if we keep having these virtual capabilities. People being able to talk from long distances are more apt to have more conversations rather than having to send an email, or if they have to travel, dollars to spending their travel. So virtual capabilities, I think, are so good for this industry, because knowledge isn't going to go away, and you're not going to improve your performance if you don't share it.
I love it in there. I'm a big fan of Tony Hsieh, the CEO of Zappos, when he's looking at this idea of collisions. And the idea is where knowledge and people combine and collide to be able to have the ability to connect, regardless if it's via Skype, if it's email, but the ability to get it out there and to get it into process, it being the information, so that people can actually benefit from it. So what's on the deck for you, Dr. Cindy? Is there a postdoc in your future? It sounds like you have some future studies you might be interested in.
I do have some ideas. I really do want to pursue the smaller businesses, seeing how they share knowledge and what their perspective of it is. And also, I'd like to go out of the area, maybe go into another ship repair association. you know, because the Navy background makes it a good understanding for me to be able to talk to the personnel I'd want to talk to.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for joining us, everyone. Again, Dr. Cynthia J. Young, one of our refractive thinkers for the newest edition coming out sometime next week. I'm Dr. Cheryl Lentz. I'm your host, known as the Academic Entrepreneur. We're thrilled that you could join us for another 30 minutes of Blog Talk Radio. Keep thinking your way to success. We'll see you next week.